Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
First Kings, go back there. We'll look at James in just a moment, but First Kings, I want to go back and spend a little time there on Elijah. We're not done. As a matter of fact, you need to know this. Next Sunday morning, I'm preaching on Elijah again. It's going to rain, and this is concerning revival. I preached last week, we had Dr. Flanders here, but the week before was on Elijah, and this morning is going to be the sequel, and then next Sunday morning, God willing, will be the third part. So, they're not three of the same messages. Some of the same texts, some of the scriptures are not the same. We have not exhausted it. I trust and pray that you'll get thirsty for the Word of God as we study it through. This last week, did a little bit of traveling all week long, as you know. Some of you don't know, and I'm doing trying to lose a little bit of weight. I put on a little bit over the holiday season. I was so proud of myself and went so well, and went a whole year, never gained a pound back from that thing a January ago, and I put on a few pounds. So I've been working at it, and it's been successful. And you may not know it, and my motivation is that my clothes had fit me right, and my suits had fit me, because I can't afford to buy a whole bunch of different suits. So I'm highly motivated, and all week long I've been looking forward to Saturday. Saturday I knew we would be on the road. In fact, it was a ball game, and it was going to be my cheat day. I was going to reward myself. I was going to have French fries, and this is the truth. I thought about it all week long. I knew where I was going to be. I knew what I was going to buy. They always have French fries at that tournament, at that game. And I was going to get a big order of deep-fried, homemade French fries. And I was looking forward. I could taste the ketchup. I went by Friday. I smelled some there in the building, but I stayed away from it. I'm just the height of discipline. So on Saturday, about lunch, about noon, I went ahead and I paid $2. I tell you, I can give you all the details, man. I paid $2. I could describe the lady I bought the French fries from. This is a big event. I've been looking forward to it. I take it back to the gymnasium. I make my way up to the top row in the bleachers. Gym's full of people. I got my spot. I sit down, and I'm about ready to start eating his fries, and the game's going to start, and Pastor Bill sits down beside me. And I'm in the game, and I'm eating, and I'm holding him just like this. And he's sitting there, and I'm eating. And I'm telling you, we got to the end, the middle of the second quarter, end of the first quarter, middle of the second quarter, and I look down, and all my French fries are gone. And I'm not sure if I ate them or not. And Bill, I look over at Bill, and said, man, I can't believe I ate all those French fries. He's got this big grin on his face. Now, I hate to equate Pastor Bill with the devil, but the devil, if you're not careful, he will steal your French fries. Now, Bill's not here this morning to defend himself. He's preaching down at Lighthouse, and I am pretty confident. You might ask him, I'm not sure they're still preaching there tonight or not, but you might ask him the next time you see him. You know, he has really been pushing my buttons lately. You think about that. Remember that trip I told you about, and he had me turn around and everything, and now he's eating my French fries. And I couldn't go get another order because I'm not sure if I really ate them or not, and I'm serious about this diet, so you're not careful. The devil will steal your French fries every single time. We are in such desperate need of revival, and I'm doing what I told you I was going to do. And I've been doing a little bit of traveling. I preached last Tuesday morning downstate, and I want to give you a report. We're picking up momentum. I'm talking about the family of God for this statewide revival. More and more getting involved. I'm pretty excited about it. One thing I'm a little bit discouraged about, and that's about amongst our fundamentalist brethren. You know the ones that are a little bit intolerant and a little bit holding back? It's not the ones to the right. It's the ones to the left. I'm thinking, why wouldn't you want revival? Now, what are you holding back on? But I am telling you this, all over the state of Michigan, this is starting to catch fire. If enough of God's people will start praying in a serious fashion for old-time revival, Michigan can have that. This morning, in my prayer time this morning, I prayed for every fundamentalist preacher in the Upper Peninsula that I know. And I've got my little prayer list going. And there was like 40 names. And I prayed, and most of them pastored in these little burgs, these little villages, these little outback places. And I'm praying. My vision, and you need to catch on to this, and I pray you will, and I'm sure many of you have, is that the Upper Peninsula would change. We would no longer be known as the Dark Peninsula. That one time was the description of the UP. Now, we still are the Dark Peninsula as far as spiritual condition is concerned. It's got to change. And the only way it's going to change is if we get it together for God. The election that took place last November, that wasn't revival. That was a reprieve. I'm thankful for some of the change in direction. But it's up to the Church of Jesus Christ to have revival. Man, we need to look to God. We need to prepare so that God can bless. Let me give you a little background again. We're going to get to verse 41, 42 through the end of the chapter. And we're in chapter 18 of 1 Kings. And I want to just give you a little bit of background. Some of it's going to be a little repetitious from 2 weeks ago. But you got to know this so you understand the conditions of the nation of God's people at that time. The nation's already divided. Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom. There's a prophet of God in the land. His name is Elijah. There's a king, and he is a wicked king. As a matter of fact, he's the most wicked king Israel ever had. Verse 29, go all the way back to chapter 16, verse 30 says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Verse 31 really shares his heart. This is the king, says, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Sin had become a light thing. God was just a big doting grandpa upstairs, not really reality. And for him, it was a casual thing to commit sin. I hope you haven't gotten to that place in your journey of life. And you don't have to be there. If you're a teenager and you don't think it's a big thing to sin against God, if you're an adult and you kind of laugh off the things that are evil and wicked and unrighteous, you need revival. You need to get back to the place where God can bless you again. Just like we taught in Sunday school this morning, you need to become a vessel of honor again. Instead of something on some agenda, distracted in every direction, God is not really number one. As a matter of fact, the first thing, if it's one of the things that you love in this life, and it comes up on, you'll put it before God every time, you are in great need of revival. I want to say this also. Michigan is in great need of revival. We're not what we used to be. Some of us are young in the Lord and that are here in the auditorium, and you don't remember what it was like in the 70s in Michigan. There were churches on fire in Michigan. Man, there were great things being done for God in churches, taking great leaps of faith forward. And souls were being saved, and churches had altar calls, and prayer meetings were big crowds. And, you know, this is an abnormal thing going on at Fundamental Baptist Church. This state needs to come back to God. We're so guilty of sin. Apathy. Murder. For every 1,000 live births, there are 200 babies aborted in America. That's amazing. And we laugh it off. Like it's not a big deal with God. We need revival. Back here in chapter 18, I want to read a couple more verses about Ahab. Chapter 21, just a single verse there, verse 20. Chapter 21 and verse 20. It says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. She was behind the scenes pulling the strings in Ahab's life, encouraging him towards evil and encouraging him towards wickedness. And Ahab was a puppet. He was a man with no character. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. God raised up a prophet. It was the days of the prophets. And his name was Elijah. Oh, rough and rugged Elijah. just said it like it was. He wasn't smooth. He wasn't politically correct. He was a man of God. Chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. And that's the name of the message this morning. It's going to rain. Ahab had a 22-year evil reign, old King Ahab. 3 years earlier than this, Elijah the prophet said, no more rain. God told me to tell you this, and God did. We have record of it. Ahab stood before the king and said, there won't be any rain, and there won't be any dew. And the result of that was there was a famine. Here's a real simple elemental thought. If there is no rain, if there is no dew, if there is no water, there will be no crops. There will be a famine, and there will not be a harvest. And pretty soon things are going to get tough, and things will be rough in life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there is a famine of the power of God. There is a famine of the Word of God in the state of Michigan. And it's all over Chippewa County. People void of the truth, void of knowing what God says, void of knowing what God thinks. They know what everything, they know what they think, they know what all of their peers think, but they don't know what God thinks. And when there's a when there's a drought like that, pretty soon there's going to be a famine. And when there's a famine, there is no harvest. You wonder why more people aren't getting born again? There's a famine. There is no harvest. People aren't being saved like they at one time were. Now, some of us we don't understand. We live in a bubble. We see people walk the aisles here. We think this is the way church is everywhere. And I'm sorry to tell you, it is not the way church is everywhere. And some of the churches that I grew up in that at one time were stalwarts of the faith. I mean, they preached it. I could name the pastors. They were Bible preachers. It's not that way anymore. Now everything's cultured and fancy and smooth and no altar call. You don't want to put people on the spot. You sure don't want people to be uncomfortable, so let's have a closing hymn. And before long, prayer meetings dried up. They have Bible studies. Bible studies are wonderful, but we need prayer meetings. And then Sunday night kind of falls by the wayside. And then Sunday school, you know, my kids go to the Christian school. They get enough Bible there. I'm telling you, they don't get enough Bible there. They need to hear from somebody else, another teacher. Hear the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit teach them and minister and grow them. So God tells Elijah the prophet, you go tell the king it's going to rain. I'll send rain upon the earth. Verse 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine. That means it was bad. It was so bad that Ahab said to Obadiah, the governor of his household, who was a powerful man and a godly man, said, Obadiah, you go that way. I'll go this way. We got to find water. We got to find grasslands. The deer, the horses and the mules are going to die if we don't find some kind of water real quick. It is desperate. It's got to happen here at Fundamental Baptist Church. There got to be more people get desperate about revival and the power of God. When's the last time you prayed for the power of God in your life? When's the last time you bent your knee before God Almighty and said, God, I so want your power? That's not a self-glorying kind of thing, because his power rests in weakness. God, I want to be used of you. I beg you for the power. You don't need to beg God to get saved. Man, you call upon Christ, repentant of your sin, you're born again. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's just waiting to come in. He's knocking, it says in Revelation. He's just waiting to come in. You call out to God, he'll hear that prayer every single time. But as a child of God, after salvation, you got to get desperate about praying for the power of God. There was a time in my life, and it's going on right now, when I was in Bible college, I prayed for the power of God every single day. And I was a terrible preacher, still am. I was a terrible preacher, but I wanted the power of God in my life. And I was out preaching on weekends, and I knew I didn't have much. I only had two messages, so I couldn't go to the same place three times in a row. You know, I had two messages, and they were pretty short. But I prayed, I wanted the power of God. And God just answered that prayer again and again. Everywhere I went, in our bathroom, Deb will tell you this, I had prayed for the power of God, and I had it taped to the mirror in our bathroom. In my briefcase, I had a briefcase. I was a pretty fancy Bible college student, you know. But every time I opened up that briefcase, there it was. It was written. I hand wrote it. It was in color. Pray for the power of God. I'd go to Doctrine 101. I'd open that up. Pray for the power. I'd even go to English, Bonehead English, and I'd open that up and say, pray for the power of God. We need to get desperate about this thing. Revival isn't going to come unless we get ready. Boy, I'm way ahead in what I wanted to share this morning. So let me do some more summarizing here. Go to verse 17. You're familiar with this. I preached this 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to read every verse here. But Ahab finds Elijah because Elijah was told of God to reveal himself to him. And Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And of course, he's got it totally wrong. Everybody wants to blame God for evil, blame God for all the wickedness, all the people starving, all the murders, all the rapes, all the crime that is going on. Blame God, abortion, blame God. And it isn't God at all, nor is it God's people. It's man choosing evil is what it is. Well, God's people can be involved in that. It's man just going along with the culture. You leave God out of the culture, and this culture is going to get darker and darker and darker. I got good news for you, though. We got the light. We got the light of God in our hands. And it's up to us to manifest the word of God so that God will bless like he wants to bless. I remind you, America, right now, missiologists will tell you this. America is the third largest mission field in the world. You say, oh, it's got to be Africa. It's America. 7 out of 10, 70% of the population of America does not go to church. Things have changed. The people of God have dropped the ball. We need revival. Verse 18, he answered, I have not troubled Israel. This is Elijah speaking. But thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed him. There's a famine in the land. How's it going, leaving God out of your life? You say, oh, I'd never leave God. How's it going putting God in second place, and third place, and fourth place? There'll be a famine. And after that famine, there'll never be a harvest. We need rain. Well, you know the story. I call it the Battle of Mount Carmel. I'm not going to preach that this morning. I spent all my time on that last week. I'm not going to, 2 weeks ago. I'm not getting started on that again. I won't get off of it. But it's impractical for evil and good to work together. And Elijah said, man, this is enough. This is enough. It's time to have a confrontation. Here's my plan. God gave it to me. Here's the way it's going to happen. King, I want you to get everybody to Mount Carmel. A high mountain range that juts out into the Mediterranean Sea, the highest spot in the land. There on Mount Carmel, we're going to have a battle. We're going to have a duel. We're going to have a fight to the finish. It's going to be Baal versus God. You get your 450 prophets of Baal, they'll get a bull. You may have them make their altar and build, put wood there on the altar and put that bullock there on the altar and don't call down any, they'll put any fire there and you pray. And I'll do the same thing. And the God that answers by way of prayer, by way of fire, that's the God that's real. And you know the prophets of Baal, now they're sweating even before this ordeal starts because they know they're as phony as a $3 bill. Just like all the religions of the world today that are not exalting Christ, that are not about Jesus and the true word of God. Well, they went till noon. They're jumping on the altar. They're cutting themselves. They're crying. They're screaming. They're sweating. They're bleeding. Nothing. They go all afternoon, all the way to the time of the evening sacrifice. Nothing. And Elijah said, and by the way, he mocks them. And Elijah's a little theatrical. He's a good preacher. He's making a big point. He says, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe Baal's on it. Maybe your God's on a trip. Maybe he needed a vacation. Maybe he's taking a little nap. Maybe yell a little. I can see Elijah doing this and people laughing while he's doing it. I mean, not the prophets, but the people. Maybe he's on a bathroom break. That's actually implied in that passage of Scripture. I mean, you're a mighty God that can't answer your prayers. They got done. They're exhausted. They're laying on the ground, leaning against the altar. Some of them are bled out, and they're thinking, man, well, we've lost, or we failed. And then Elijah comes, and we read in verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob. This is important, and I don't think I emphasized this first go-around. 12 unhewn stones. Not touched by man. God doesn't need our help in his religion. He don't want a man-made religion. Elijah takes 12 stones and he rebuilds the altar. Those 12 stones, each stone symbolic of a tribe of Israel. It's already a divided kingdom. They've already gone their separate ways. Listen, before there can be a miracle of revival, there's got to be a little unity. There's got to be people coming together. I testify to you that I've sat at the table with preachers in the last several weeks concerning the statewide revival, and I've marveled at the men I've seen at that table. All fundamentalists, all good brethren, but they haven't gotten along in years. In years. And little snot-nosed difference things, you know, that don't matter, don't amount to a hill of beans. These are fundamentalists. This guy parts his hair over here, and this guy parts his hair over there. But man, they're all seeing the need, and they're desperate. They're getting desperate. And it's very encouraging to me. What is discouraging to me, but it's not, it's the same in life. Those that are to the far left, they don't want anything to do with it. And I'm thinking, it's amazing. 12 stones. You know what our job is? Not to provide the fire. That's God's job. Our job is to rebuild the altar, to get ready. Fundamental Baptist Church, our position, our job is between now and next June to get ready for the revival. We ought to have that revival conference, and that's what it's called. We ought to have this revival conference here with all these other churches coming, but we ought to be already be revived at that time and walking with God and knowing the power of God. And then it's a catalyst, and it just spills over, and the speakers, the preachers that are already chosen, they're going to come and share the word of God. It's going to be a wonderful time. And the big joint choir, and I don't know how many people are going to be in the choir, but a lot of churches are getting involved. Good churches, our sister churches. I'm very, very encouraged, and so are they. But Elijah first had to rebuild the altar before the fire would fall. Okay, I did better than last time. I've got now 6 minutes to preach my message. Let's go to verse 41. Verse 41. It's just hard to lay that groundwork without getting into it. You know, verse 41 says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." Now listen, the fire's already fallen. That fire came down so intense, everybody knew it was God. It was so intense. It burned up the bull. It burned up the wood. And the wood was soaking wet. It burned up the rocks that made up the altar. It burned up the water that was in the trench around the altar. Everything was gone. It was just dry dust. It was just, wow, gone. And it was so impressive that all the people of God got down on their knees and said, "The Lord, He is the God." That's what we got to have happen in Michigan. It's got to be so powerful. It's got to be so big that everybody will know it's God. It's not some preacher. It's not Fundamental Baptist Church. That it's God. The fire comes from God. You say, "Well, what's got to happen for that to happen?" That's the next message, right? But here's what, in a nutshell, here's what's got to happen. We got to get ready because it's going to rain. Pastor Josh read that passage in James in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It's taken out of context so often by so many groups. But there is a lot of rain. And God wants to save. Understand this. If God's will were done, every man, woman, and child would get saved and go to heaven. That's God's will. That's what the Bible teaches. Clear. That is the will of God. Anything less than that, man's gotten in the way. Elijah was a praying man. We read that in verse 41. It says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. You better prepare yourself, king. Eat a meal, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now understand, the rain hasn't come yet. The fire has, but the rain hasn't. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. That's a praying position. He is desperate. In prayer. You ever been so desperate you've been right on the ground praying? I mean, right on the ground. There's nothing dignified about that. Elijah was a praying man. Dr. John R. Rice wrote the book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. It's a little book about that thick. It's the most basic book on prayer I've ever read. And the title summarizes the whole thing. Prayer is getting things from God. You have not because you ask not. Asking and receiving. James chapter 5 and verse 17 says that Elijah was a man of like passions, like as we are. But he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And he prayed again at God's command, and then it rained. That's what we're reading about right now. When it says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, you know what he's saying? He was flesh and blood. He's a hardworking man. He's a man that was, if he's like me, easily distracted. If he's like me, he's a guy who has a wandering heart. If he's like me, it's hard to sit down behind a desk and read a book. But the Bible tells us he was a man just like we are. And he was able to get things from God. We got to get serious about prayer. Elijah is desperate and he's serious. Verse 42 said he cast himself down upon the earth. That's serious prayer. And put his face between his knees. That's desperate prayer. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Now, you and I would have given up praying at that time. But that's not Elijah. Seven times he sends his servant out to see if there's a sign of any rain in the sky, any rain clouds at all. He's praying and he's asking God for a monsoon. He's asking God for a deluge. He's asking God for a gully washer. The power of God in every way. Verse 43 says, or verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he ran ahead. He actually beat the chariot there. And that was like an 18-mile run. He was quite an old man. The power of God was using him again and again and again. And it comes down to this. Elijah was a praying man. Elijah was a man of faith. He believed the promises of God. And Elijah got his prayers answered. There was a great rain. I got several texts to look at. We won't look at them. Not this morning. I want to challenge you. I want you to be involved. I want you to know I think it's going to rain. I want you to understand I believe God is ready for a heavy visitation of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God, the Bible, upon this state of Michigan. It may not happen all at once. It may not happen from top to bottom and side to side all at once. But it's got to start somewhere. And I see it starting in the hearts of God's people. Pastors, some of God's men, praying in a unified fashion. I got to preach Tuesday morning to a group of preachers, and I had liberty. And the power of God fell. I felt so fulfilled at the altar afterwards. It was such good preaching, I went to the altar myself. Man, I was right there. And it was God. It was all God. We've got to get desperate. We've got to rebuild the altar. Whatever it is in your life that needs to be rebuilt. If you were ever walking closer to God than you are right now, it's time to do it. Get back to it. Rebuild the altar so that when you pray and I pray, the fire of God falls. Get desperate.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.